It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of PCSN or Powell County Sports Network. And this is PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. I'm David Faulkner, joined with Ken Simon, as we are kind of bringing these shows on Wednesday nights to kind of help our sponsors out from our sports season that we missed out on in the spring. And we're still on a wait-and-hold pattern for the fall. So that's kind of where we are. And tonight, as a guest here in about 10 minutes, we'll have on Stacy Crace, director of the Powell County Health Department. And a lot of the questions that I think we've been saying on the air, we're trying to get some of those questions answered from Stacy, because she will have the knowledge to answer the questions that me or Ken just aren't that privy to. Again, there's some kind of confusing things. A lot of people will get, they get political on here and have one think people are shading information or whatever it may be, and just kind of get Stacy to kind of clear the air on some of this these things and get her to just maybe touch base with, you know, what's going on here. Today we had a record number of cases in Kentucky, 1165. Now I think that's something Governor Beshear alluded to on Monday, that we had a false low number because of the glitch they had in the program this weekend. So they knew they had false numbers from last week. They knew they had false numbers from Monday. Knew they had false numbers from Tuesday. And today, it kind of exploded on today's number from 1165. So the good thing about, I guess the only good thing about it was the percentage was lower than what it has been. So I guess if you have 1165 new cases, but your infection rate or your
positivity
rate is lower, then that's a good thing. Never, I don't think ever is more cases a good thing, but as long as that positivity rate stays a little bit lower, I think we're in a little bit better shape. Today in Powell County, and we'll get more from Stacy, the number was 5. And as we do our Wednesday to Wednesday count, we have had 15 new cases between last Wednesday and today. So that is our biggest week as far as a Wednesday to Wednesday. We're on the same calendar everybody else is, but from one broadcast to the next broadcast, that's our biggest number that we've reported.
Yeah, we actually have local 68 total cases, 20 active cases, 48 recovered cases. And as you mentioned, the, you know, the 1,160 cases throughout the state, that's still less than 400 average per day during that three-day span, kind of that glitch that you were talking about. So even though the numbers are still
high, if you add the numbers that they actually had to that
you're still going to get over the, right,
probably over the 500.
Right.
But we've been there for a while now. And again, I did see one thing. I didn't mean to just cut in there, but I did see one thing on Facebook today kind of attacking that. Okay, so the masks are working, as a question that they're really not, because the number's high. These are kind of a fake number, a false number today. It's a accumulated number over a few days of the add-ons that we have on the days that weren't actually correct on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So this is just a recap of all the things that are now known, and probably tomorrow's count I was assuming would be a little bit higher as well, because they've probably not got all the glitches out yet. But I don't, this is actually more proof that it's probably working, in my opinion, because that number is staying around 500. We did not get into where we were multiplying it out. We didn't get there, and at least it's leveled off at the top, and I don't think we can afford to see it go any higher.
No, I agree with you. I think too, under the circumstances, that it seems like we're kind of steady in a sense as far as the numbers, you know, still that 500, but yet we've still kind of been consistent that 500.
Yeah.
Even though 500 is way too many on any given day, one is way too many, but still at least we're kind of, you know, reaching that, I wouldn't necessarily say a plateau, but still we're at least flattening out in a sense. you know, that curve and to some extent. But still, overall, in the state of Kentucky, 36,945 total positive cases. 717,370 have been tested. So, you know, three quarters of a million, you know, roughly, been tested. 36,945 confirmed. And
it's
we'll
about
get
5%
into,
overall, I guess, right?
It's like 551, I believe, is like what the 551, 562, something like that. Again, unfortunate, 790 deaths that have occurred, 8,893 have recovered. The positivity rate, 5.62.
For the entire amount.
Correct, yes. So, you know, when you're looking at those, and then, you know, we'll get into this, but there are different types of tests. There's a PCR, there's a serology, there's an antigen. We'll ask Stacy Crace, you know, as far as those, what the difference is between those and the numbers, and why are there are three tests and what the significance of those three tests are. But again, you know, when you stop and think, the mask, the social distancing, obviously, to some extent, it's making a difference. It has to be making a difference. You know, even though our numbers locally, you know, continue to kind of go up in a sense, you know, there's still people who have a positive test, asymptomatic. You know, again, we'll get into that as well. You know, what is that? How has that happened? And then obviously just the contact tracing, you know, someone in your household tests positive. Okay, now all of a sudden, if you get tested, you know, it's probable that you might be a positive case as well. So again, we'll get into some of these questions. The school system had a meeting Monday night to announce basically that they were going along with the governor's recommendation of delaying in-person school. So here in Powell County, they will actually be going to remote learning. We'll still be starting on August 25th,
correct,
just so everyone knows, but it will be remote learning at that point.
And I think they'll do this with the students as it goes a little bit later, but they will be getting hold of these students on when they're coming in. I think it's the 3 days now, the 25th, 26th, and 27th would just be to get those kids ready for the virtual learning, correct?
Correct, yes.
Get them signed up for whatever they need, their passwords, all their information that they need to get out. That'll be available here pretty soon, I think, from the district. So that first 6 weeks, and again, we've talked about this before, will that go longer? Will that be extended? We don't know. And again, all we can say is, Ken and I, if you follow the protocols of wearing the mask and the distancing and do what you're supposed to do, we get back to normal quicker if we do those than if we don't. That's a fact. Now, concerning yesterday, just came out with a study. I can't remember what the institute was, and maybe ask Stacy about this too, but again, this is new. There was a study that came out, I think, yesterday that said that the vapor is now in the particles, or in the vapor, and it's actually going further than the 6 feet, traveling up to 12 to 14 feet, especially if there's more ventilation systems. It's going all the way to the back ventilation system, and anybody within that path can be able to pick that up, even 14, 15 feet away. So that's a little bit concerning, because if that's the case, our 6 foot barrier is not big enough. So I think that the schools or the state, I'll say this, I think Governor Beshear made a good call, listening to the experts. There are schools who are starting in-person learning here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll see how it goes there. I know some of the private schools, some of the independents, some of the Christian schools, and there are a couple of city schools or independent schools that are going ahead and start that have a little bit lower numbers of classes, but I think they're taking a risk. And again, now you're going against advice of the state of Kentucky from the governor's office. What that curtails for you, I don't know. If you have a spike in your city because of it, then you know somebody might have to answer some questions a little bit later on.
And on one hand, let's say we get to October. I believe it's October the 5th, 6th, as far as when potentially the students would be in person again. It would be after the first 6 weeks. So it's like in that first week of October. But let's say, for instance, you know, the numbers, you know, have kind of been reduced. The positivity rate has been reduced, et cetera. And all of a sudden, you now start to congregate. My assumption, you're still going to see
a spike.
I believe so, because I think at that point, you know, as much as we try to keep the schools clean and all of that, you know as well as I do, it doesn't matter if it's a stomach virus, doesn't matter if it's the flu, the cold. I mean, you know, it's a germy area, especially among kids in a sense. And even though, you know, you can talk to them about washing their hands and using sanitizer and, you know, talk to them until you're blue in the face, you know, they're not necessarily going to adhere to that, even though you reiterate it, you know, make sure you wash your hands, that kind of thing. And people that are parents, you know, kids, you can tell them to, you know, wash their hands and, you know, they kind of do those things. But I'm afraid that even when we get to October, if we're in person, there's still going to be some cases that are going to linger around. And at that point, well, then, you know, now where do we go? Do we go for a couple of days and now since somebody tests positive, you're back in the remote learning?
I think you're going to see virtual as a option the entire school year. That's my opinion. I don't know anything for sure, but I think you're going to see that option because of a couple of things. If we're wearing a mask until Christmas and the schools can implement and I think this school's implement a three-strike rule. First two times warnings, third time you're going home for virtual. If you don't have that avenue of that resource of virtual for your students who aren't following your protocols, what do? I mean, then you've got a problem. So I think virtual's going to be with us for a while. I think that option will. And again, I think it's a little bit of latitude for the administrators to say, okay, look, if you're not going to follow our guidelines, you need to go to virtual learning. And therefore, you would have to wear your mask. But those are things that I think will be worked out on their own a little bit later. But again, I think that positivity rate's got to come down. Now, I will say this about Kentucky. Now, we're a little bit late on our break and to Stacy, but I think if you're in Kentucky and you're comparing yourselves to other places, we're really doing a pretty good job in Kentucky. However, the numbers to us look a little frightening. We're a lot better off than a lot of other folks. So there is a silver lining to what we're doing in Kentucky. And I think it is a little bit better than a lot of places. But we're going to take a break here. We'll come back with Stacy Crace from the Powell County Health Department here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
It's summer clearance time going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Get the best deals of the year right now. From the economical 2020 Jeep Renegade to the most awarded SUV in the country, the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the deals have never been better. Rebates up to $6,000 on Jeep products and, as always, the best atmosphere to buy a new car. The no-hassle sales staff and exceptional service team. Make now the time to buy. Don't forget that rates are as low as 0%. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram just off the Mountain Parkway exit 22 in Stanton.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon. And we'll be joined now on the phone with the Powell County Health Department, Stacy Crace. So how you doing, Stacy?
Good, thanks.
And glad to have you on here. First of all, I'm going to start this off real quick with you. I want to thank you for everything you're doing at the Health Department and getting the information out to us as much as you can. And your work has been very appreciated.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
Oh, you're very welcome. So I'm going to turn it over to Ken here with some questions for you.
Okay. All right, Stacy. I hope these are not going to necessarily be too hard, but now some of the content, you're going to have to probably put it on a level where we're going to be able to understand it. Dave and I have been going around and around trying to figure some of these things out, and we have yet to do it. So hopefully you can answer some of those questions. But
okay. First
of all, if you can, just explain what your title is and even your responsibility at the health department and how long you've even been in that position now.
Okay. My official title is public health director. And so basically it's my job to oversee the finances of the health department that we get in from different sources and the program management of all the different things that we're expected to do as a health department and some things we choose to do as local programs that maybe not every health department does. So really just kind of overseeing the general direction of the health department and working with the community and the public information officer. You know, as you mentioned, I try to get the information out to the community. As far as how long, it was actually mid-March, so I came in with the coronavirus.
You brought it to us. That's a joke, by the way. It's a joke.
Yeah, no.
So let me ask you this, as far as like even some of the programs, obviously over the years, the programs that the health department has offered has changed. What are some of the big programs and things that you all actually take care of now?
Well, I think a lot of people are familiar with the WIC program. That's a large program that we do with providing food and nutrition counseling for pregnant women and breastfeeding women and infants and children. We do communicable diseases with as far as control and monitoring of sexually transmitted diseases. We have our environmentalist. A lot of people know Rusty, and he inspects our restaurants and facilities around the county because you know, a lot of our work is behind the scenes. If we didn't do it, you would know, but because we do our job, you know, we have healthy places to eat, and you know, we try to keep some of these diseases down in the community.
Okay, so let's go back to, you know, the communication. So what does a normal day look like for you at the health department as it relates to communicating with state and local officials about COVID-19?
Okay, every day I communicate with local officials, with Judge Anderson and Kevin Babcock with emergency management, Corey Graham with dispatch. You know, we're always kind of looking at that daily picture of what it looks like in the community. As far as the state, when we get a case, we enter that in that computer system that you've heard about with the glitches and things, and the data backlog. But our information goes up to them through that system, so that's how they know the cases that we get. And, you know, the directors meet quite a bit through Zoom with each other. We meet with Dr. Stack, the commissioner, that way, and we've had a few meetings with Governor Beshear too. So
okay, just for clarification purposes, so the health department, you all do not necessarily work directly with the COVID patients, is that correct? And or you all do not even test?
What we do as far as testing is we have set up a partnership with Gravity Labs that the state works with. So we are able to get the free tests, and we give them out to our community clinics. So So they are able to use our tests. They bring them back to us when they're collected, and we send them out and get the results, and then we hand the results back out to the clinic. So we're kind of the middleman as far as the testing goes, but we felt like it worked well in our community rather than with our small staff actually doing the test. We have our responsibilities and roles are probably best served in other areas, so we just give the clinics the test. We work with the patients as far as monitoring. We check in on these people. They either text us or we give them a phone call daily to monitor their health so that we know when they can be released. And we're also keeping up with contacts. That's a number that I don't report out, but, you know, the close contacts that we're notified about, we also have to monitor them during the quarantine. So we do have some direct patient, interaction, but it's not necessarily with the testing.
Okay, so how does that work as far as the contact tracing? Let's say that someone tests positive. At that point, are they just making a list of names of people that they've been in contact with over the past, you know, however many days? How long a period of time do they even kind of go back, in a sense?
Yeah, we have disease investigators, so like our nurse, and we also have a regional team that we can reach out to if we get overwhelmed locally, but yeah, they'll go, it's case by case, really, and it depends on when this symptom started. Going to go back a couple days before that. If you don't have any symptoms, we may go back a week and kind of look at those people. There was a time when they, you know, were telling us different things, but that's the thing about having a new virus, and, some of the processes we have are the same, but some of them were kind of changing with the flow of information. But we do work with that case, and it's an individual basis, and you have to look at the interactions they have and, well, okay, does that really meet the close contact definition with that person? And we get really down in the details about who we're going to quarantine.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of go weaving back even further, and we probably even should have started off with this just to clarify things in a sense. So what is the definition of COVID-19? And then we'll get into what those symptoms are as well.
Okay. Well, COVID-19 is the disease caused by the coronavirus, and it's a new coronavirus. So what, there have been coronaviruses in history, you know, that cause things like the common cold, but this is a new strain, so that's what makes it so challenging. A lot of things we don't know about it, but also, if people didn't know, a coronavirus was what caused SARS in 2002, so this is another type of SARS that we're monitoring. And that might ring a bell with some people as far as that epidemic.
So what are the symptoms then that someone may have to warrant even getting tested? Because obviously you don't want necessarily somebody to just go out and get tested just for the sake of getting tested unless they have symptoms, or do you just want everybody to even go out and get tested? So what are even symptoms that are associated with this?
Fever is definitely a big one. You know, if you have a fever out of the blue, definitely get that checked out. Most of the time it's associated with cough, shortness of breath. This virus seems to really affect the lungs, and people have more difficulty breathing than with other viruses. We've seen a lot of fatigue, muscle body aches, headache is a big one. The kind of unique one with the coronavirus is losing your taste or smell. So if that comes out of nowhere, and for some people, that's all they have. It's all of a sudden they can't smell or taste. So that's a big one. We also have some stomach issues with diarrhea, nausea, vomiting. Some people experience that too.
So what about it being transmitted? How is this actually transmitted?
It's mainly person to person through the respiratory droplets. So when someone's infected and they cough or sneeze or just even talk, those are the droplets that we're looking at that, you know, could land maybe in the mouth or nose of somebody that's around within that close proximity, maybe within 6 feet. So it's mainly a person-to-person link.
Okay, so then how do the masks work? Because, you know, some people will say, oh, well, the virus is smaller than the fibers, you know, in a mask, and therefore it could even get through the mask. So, you know, to cause an infection. So how important are the masks in stopping or not stopping the transmission of COVID?
I mean, it's just a public health measure that we can take to reduce the risk. It's not going to be 100% effective naturally, but it is a method of source control. So if the sources are the respiratory droplets, then putting that mask over your mouth is just naturally going to create a barrier so that the droplets don't travel as far. Then if you add a few more feet to that interaction with somebody, and there's another barrier you can kind of put into place, if I'm going to move back to 6 or 8 feet, then it's just reducing the chance that you would be exposed to someone else's respiratory droplets.
Okay, so this is kind of a maybe a silly question, but maybe not. Okay, I'm wearing a mask. I need to sneeze. Should I take my mask off and then, you know, move as far away from people as I possibly can and turn around from them and sneeze? Should I sneeze into my mask? Like, what's the protocol in a sense as far as, you know, if you needed to? What's the best option, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I really would probably definitely move away from people as far as you can, but coughing or sneezing into your elbow would be good. Sometimes you can't really, you don't have a second to take that off. So if you can't take your mask off, then at least cough into your elbow or arm or sneeze.
I think those are good. Now, obviously the mask works better as long as we are following the social distancing protocol as well. In conjunction, they work pretty effectively. And when they're not distanced, that's where the problems are created, correct?
Yeah, that just adds to the problem. So the more steps you can take in this, I think the better off you'll be.
Okay, can you hang on for a little bit? We've got to take a break here, but we'll come back with you just a moment. We've got to take a break here from PCSN Live here on WSKV. We'll be back more with Stacey Crace after the break.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back to PCSN Live. And again, thanks to our guests for joining us. That's Stacey Crace, Powell County Health Department. I got a couple of questions from earlier, I guess, in the segment. Couple things. First of all, when you're back to the tracing, if someone comes in contact with someone, obviously they're called, and it's an anonymous source, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, we've got an anonymous source, and you're tracing someone. How long will it take for the symptoms or a positive test result to show up in that person?
That is really the reason for the 14-day quarantine of those contacts, because it can take up to 14 days.
Okay.
It's generally taken about 5 to 6 days, but there are those people that it takes to the very end of the quarantine for something to show up. So that's why, you know, it's important. We have a lot of times, especially now that more cases are popping up in the county and people here, they might have been exposed, or even if they think they've been exposed to a contact of a contact and they're worried, if you run out and take a test today, that really only tells you today. It doesn't tell you that, you know, this could be developing in your body and you might not see it for 2 or 3, maybe a week, you know, from now. So.
Oh, okay, for an example, if I go to Florida on, mm-hmm. what's today's Wednesday, if I went to Florida on last week and I came back today and I got tested, I still might not be positive until next week, correct?
Yes, or even 2 weeks.
So can I, if I were positive and didn't know it, can I still transmit the virus to someone else?
Yes, you can.
So that's a really scary part then, right?
That's exactly why we're doing a lot of these things. And, you know, we even have people that are in quarantine that are contacts of people, and they say, but I already had a negative and I feel fine. But, and they, you know, we're trying to do that education to let them know, you know, it may not have shown up yet. And then again, even when it does, you may not have any symptoms. So.
Okay, this is really why we wanted you on here tonight, is to clarify these types of questions for us, because I think the community, Ken and I, we come on every week just kind of guessing, and obviously we don't have the knowledge that you have. And again, if you listen to CNN or Fox, whatever your news source is, they get to where they're saying now it's really less than 14 days, but you just told us that some cases last 14 days. That's why the protocol was initially there. So I'm glad you said that. Now, how many, if you have a tracer that's come in contact, you're asking them to quarantine. What about the folks that they've come in contact with? Are they actually notified as well?
We would notify close contacts of a positive case.
Okay.
So if you're just a contact of a contact, we don't go that far. And again, a lot of that is from based on the exposure time and the incubation period of the virus. So if you're a contact of a contact, it may be a while before we know if that contact's going to be positive. And the whole goal of quarantining the contact is so that maybe they do come up positive day 9 of the quarantine. Well, luckily, we've had them in quarantine for so many days that it reduces the number of contacts that they would even have at that point. So that's the whole public health reason for the quarantine, and hopefully reducing the number of cases.
So basically, it's just to lessen the amount of contacts that they could have.
Mm-hmm. And the community spread.
Makes perfect sense. I'll let you get back to Ken. Those kind of jumped out at me during the first segment. I thought I would throw those in when we got back.
Good questions, David. Good follow-up. Okay, so where do you get tested, and what is that process like?
We actually have testing at all the medical offices here in Powell County. There's a drive-through process you can go through at Foothills in Clay City, and they run that drive-through on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. But in all the other offices, you can get it just call your provider and find out when they're open, but they're doing them just a daily business. So we have good testing in the county. We have the nasal pharyngeal swabs, which are the gold standard for the testing, even though they're not that fun. They go pretty far back, you know, about 6 inches to sample the nasal secretions that are in the back of the nose and the throat. So but those are really going to be the tests that have the most accuracy. So that's what we give them with the gravity project that we do. And those are actually the reason the providers like the gravity test, is they have the quickest turnaround right now as far as results. Some of the other labs at Quest and Lab 4, they're getting really backed up, and it can take a week or longer to get results back. But our gravity tests, we can get them back in about 48 hours if all goes well. Hopefully people will know within a couple of days.
Let me ask just one question. I was getting ready to ask you, you just answered my question, that was my initial question, but there's a place, I guess, in Clark County that's got a 20-minute turnaround. What kind of tests are they offering to get a test result that quick?
Yeah, they have a rapid machine, and I know some providers in the county. We do every other Monday we have a call with the health department and the different offices, just kind of keep each other informed. And I know a lot of those offices have ordered those machines, and then they get back ordered and pushed back. So we just haven't got our hands on any yet in the county. But they do have a rapid test, the First Care in Winchester. It's 15-20 minutes reading. It's an antigen test, so it's looking for a little bit different protein. And, you know, I don't really know all the details on that, but I know it's a little bit different, but it's still one that's reliable and one that we do count as a positive case.
Okay.
Are those conducted the same way, all three of those tests, still off that same swab?
I believe it is also the nasal pharyngeal swab for the First Care test. Now, the antibody tests that they do, I believe that's a blood sample. And those, we've not really had a lot of that yet. But and some of this is more for our nurse. But I know I hit the high points on this testing. But I believe those, if you had an antibody test come back, it would be counted probable. But that's not what the rapid test is in Winchester. So those actually would be, that's a diagnostic test. So that means right now, this second, you have it.
And now the antigen test, I guess, was more for preventive, if in case you can do a blood culture, right? If you can, your blood could be donated maybe to try to help a patient that has it from a patient who has currently, that has already had it and been negative now, right?
That'd be an antibody test.
Antibody test, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said the
antigen
wrong word. You're right.
I know the answer to this question. My daughter is a nurse, and she and I have had numerous conversations. So explain why the swab needs to go the 6 inches, you know, in your nasal passage, in a sense. You know, why does it have to go that far?
Yeah, I guess that's really where most of that virus, most of those particles that they're looking for collect. So in order to get a good sample, that's really where they have to take it. And I've had it done a couple times, so I know it was of course, negative both times, but it was very different than what I expected. I thought, oh, yeah, okay, it goes far back, and I've had a flu test, but no, this is not like any flu test I've had.
So how would you describe that feeling, in a sense? Like, what's that even like?
I tell you, the nurse that did mine, she said people have described it as like when you're swimming and you get the chlorinated water in your nose and it burns, and that was very accurate. I mean, it just felt like this little bit of burning. And then when they got done, I just wanted to blow my nose and just kind of get that
back out.
Feeling out, yeah. But it went away quick, and it was worth it, you know, to know. So.
Now, let me ask you the point. You just said you've taken multiple tests. For an example, if someone has taken, like Governor Beshear says he's tested, what, every week or every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Does the number of tests for Governor Beshear, for an example, do they all count as different tests, or is it a one person count?
Is there a new case? Like,
yeah.
Let's say, for instance, with the governor, or even yourself for that matter, you've been tested, let's say, twice. Are you a new case under both of those tests, or is that still just considered one case?
Well, a case is not a case until it's positive.
Okay.
So
do you count on the total amount of tests each time you take it?
So if a positive person retests and they're positive again, we don't count that again.
Okay.
That's a big question we get a lot. Now, when they do the positivity rate, there's really no way, like the daily rate that you hear, you know, 6%, 5.8%, that's just flat out how many tests did we do today and how many were positive. And they don't know that I've done it before, and it doesn't really matter at that point because that's today's test. Because if I'm negative one time, then the next day I could be positive. So they don't really look at anybody's previous on that. It's just a picture of the day and how many are done and how many are positive.
Well, let me ask you a theoretical question then. If I'm a Major League Baseball team and I'm tested once every or twice a week, and I've tested negative every time I've been tested, let's say I've been tested 25 or 30 times, and it's pretty consistent that you're going to probably be negative, does that kind of skew the positivity rate down from where it probably really is, or is that a factor at all?
I mean, to me, it's a true picture. That's good if you're always negative, and we know that. We're seeing a true picture of the virus in the community. So
I'm just saying, if that's just one person taking 20 tests and they're all negative.
Yeah.
Is that?
That's good. That's a good sign.
Okay.
Those numbers don't count.
The virus, well, in the positivity rate for the day, it would.
Okay. Okay.
But that's a good sign for the person in the community that it's not spread so much.
Okay.
So, I can tell you, like, with our gravity test, we do these spreadsheets for the clinic, and we'll take the results from the day, and we'll hand them back out to the clinic. So at first, when we started doing that project in May, I mean, it was, you know, 1% maybe positive. We hardly ever got a positive. We were sending back negative spreadsheets like crazy. Then all of a sudden, you know, you have these days where you're getting 4 or 5 positive tests. That's, you know, the positivity rate is going up, and that's the only way that you can really measure that.
Okay. Again, can you handle another break? We've got another break to go to. Be right back, okay?
That's, yep.
All right?
Okay.
All right. Stand by for another break here on WSKV and PCSN Live. Again, we're joined by Stacey Grace. Back in a moment.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we're joined by Stacey Grace, and I'll get back to Ken here for some questions for Stacey.
Okay, so just for some clarity purposes, I guess here. Okay, so someone tests positive, they're quarantined. At what point do they get retested during that time period?
So actually, when someone's positive, we call it isolation.
Okay.
And quarantine is for the contact. So, because isolation is more strict. You have it, and you really need to be isolated, even more so than quarantine. Yes, you're quarantined, but you need to be isolated away from the rest of your household. So we don't require another test. In Kentucky, we use a non-test-based strategy, and it's actually on the state website, on the Kentucky kycovid19.ky.gov. The guidelines for how we release people are on there. And the reason we don't require another test is because we have learned in this, all that we're learning with the new virus, people can test positive for weeks afterwards, and they are technically recovered, and you can just have that virus kind of hanging out in your body, not necessarily that you're transmitting it, but it's just like the dead virus, and you're going to test positive. So we don't require them to retest. We just require that we monitor them, they isolate a certain number of days, and if they've felt better the last 3 days of their isolation, you know, we look at a lot of things with each case to make sure we can release them on a certain date, but we actually don't require another test.
So are there some jobs out there that still require the 2 positive tests before you can come back, or the
2
negative tests where they can come back to work?
There are, yeah, there's some employers that are still requiring that, and we've struggled. We've had a lot of people that have been off work for a long time because of that. So, you know, I understand the reasoning for that, and if I was positive, I would probably want a negative before I went back to work, too, just for my own sanity, but that there's just a lot of problems with that is why in Kentucky we don't really use that as our within our standards for releasing people.
I think that was an early standard by the federal level that may have been kind of, now we figured out it's not necessarily necessary, but it's already established, so people kind of keep it in the protocol, right?
Yeah, and it would make you feel better and make you feel safer, but I tell you, some people, it's hard to get.
Well, I do know, like, these Major League Baseball teams, for example, they're in season, and if they have a player test negative, or positive, I'm sorry, they cannot return to the team until they have two negative tests. But, again, some of these guys are testing, like, 6 days later and testing negative coming back, so maybe they're following some of the protocols you're talking about plus the negative tests, so is that a possibility?
It could be, and some people do get a negative right away that we've seen, so I'm not really sure what the difference is, but maybe someday we'll know. You know, I think we're going to know a lot more in the future.
Well, I know I saw a case on CNN once. There was a case that was positive for over 90 to 100 days, I believe. They tested positive the entire time before they were released, and that's kind of what you're talking about. You could really test positive for a long time under those guidelines.
Yes.
So now, would someone like that be considered asymptomatic?
Not necessarily. We would look at the time that we had them. If they were symptomatic during that time, then, you know, they were a symptomatic case. But to us, really, when we release them at the end of those days, it's over. They're not even a case. I mean, they're a recovered case, so they're not asymptomatic, even if it just be recovered.
So what's even kind of the distinction as far as someone who is asymptomatic? Like, explain that process, that someone could be asymptomatic.
You know, we've had just a handful of those cases in the community. And a good example would be if you have to go get a procedure done, and, you know, a lot of medical facilities will say you have to have a COVID test before we'll do your XYZ procedure. And so we've had a couple come back positive, and they're just shocked because they have no symptoms. So that would be an example of an asymptomatic case. Sometimes now, with having more cases, you know, and family members and contacts will go ahead and get tested, and then we'll see some people pop up positive there that don't realize that they have it because they feel fine and they don't have any of the symptoms on the list.
So let's kind of switch gears just a little bit here. How close at the health department in your position there are you working with not only local officials, but even the school system as far as helping to guide the school system, the district, in the decisions that they're actually making?
I'm definitely working really close with the school system. Dr. Orr and I text and talk a lot, and you know, they have a healthy at school coordinator, Miss Meredith Robinson, in the district. So when we do go back in person, we hope at some point, you know, we will, then she'll be my contact person on a lot of things too. So they have really been upfront with a lot of their plans and involving us, even back in the spring when it was food delivery. And, you know, there's been a lot that's gone on with the school system throughout this, and we've been in constant communication about that. And we were meeting even before Governor Beshear's announcement. You know, we were meeting about school and the state of things here in the county, and you know, kind of looking those things over. So it, you know, ultimately it falls on the school board and the superintendent to, unless the governor makes a strong recommendation. But you know, when we come to that point, there may be a point where the governor says it's okay, and then we still may be looking locally to see what we think. So there's a lot of collaboration involved in that.
So what kind of planning, in a sense, let's you know, we're in October now, and all of a sudden the numbers have been reduced, and now they're saying it's okay to have in-person instruction. Does the school district have to have a plan in place that needs to be approved, you know, as far as the, you know, the spacing that's taking place, the protocols are being followed? Like, what does that kind of look like, in a sense?
Well, they have been given guidelines from KDE, the Kentucky Department of Education. There's a Healthy at School document that public health has worked on with people, like at the state level. So they've been given that, and they know that they need to follow the guidelines there. And then there's a lot of times that we'll discuss those things and what that means and what it'll look like for Powell County Schools. And, you know, he'll ask me, what do I think about this if they do it this way? Or so there's a lot of details, a lot of planning going on, and as far as that goes. But there's really nothing that really has to be approved and, you know, technically signed off on, but it's just consultation, I'd say.
So I guess, are there plans that, like this, for example, I saw a study yesterday, that I don't know if you saw it or not. This is about, there's a chance now that, like, the vapor may be traveling farther than the particles in the air, and it may be up to 14 to 15 feet. This is usually indoors with multiple vent systems. So if those are the cases and they find something like that out that is new, does that cause another problem for us at a later date?
I think that's a possibility. I mean, with everything that we learn when the studies come out, I mean, I haven't gotten that one down to my desk as far as, like, we really need to look at this yet. But as things like that come out, it could. I mean, there's a lot of things that could come up to kind of throw a wrench in our plans. But, you know, there's also, they're very realistic with the schools and with public health that there are situations where you can't keep the kids 6 feet apart even. So
yeah.
It wouldn't be six, so it definitely wouldn't be 14 feet, you know. But that's where the mask and the hand washing, and you just do the best you can in those situations.
Yeah, I think, is there anything else that you want to go over with our listeners or even us to maybe clarify us on what we're thinking, talking about here that our audience needs to know?
You know, I guess the biggest thing that weighs heavy on my mind is just all the misinformation out there. I guess as part of my job at the health department as a public information officer, and social media just gets so ugly and just,
oh, yeah.
I don't know, so many things get shared. And I've even thought to myself, do I need to make a YouTube video and say, like, hurry and watch this before I take it down? Or do I need to make myself more sensationalized for people to listen? But it just seems like all that is so much more attractive to get in on the conspiracies and the make it politicized. And I just would truly want people to know that this is public health. I mean, we didn't ask for it to be political. This is things, you know, we've done for years, like with TB, for example. If somebody has tuberculosis, we're going to isolate those people and look at their contacts. And, I mean, it's just public health. It's just for the good of the community. And I don't know what has happened in the last few months, but, I mean, there's a lot going on that I just wish people would just check the health department numbers, check the information that we put out, and CDC, and try to not get so distracted by everything else.
Well, I know Ken and I usually every week here we talk about wash your hands, keep your distance, wear your mask. If we do those things here in the county, I think everything gets back to normal a little bit quicker. But if we got people fighting that, I think we're going to be stuck here in the same place for a while.
Yes.
Would that be kind of accurate, what we're saying here on the air?
Absolutely. It's just a distraction, and it adds to the COVID fatigue. I mean, everybody's tired of it. Everybody wants it to be over. And the fussing and fighting, I think, just adds to that. So I really, that's why I wrote that article a few weeks ago, and I just kind of really wanted to plead to people to just stay with me and focus on the public health things that we can do and try to limit this in the community.
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you've got our support 100%. I think you're doing a great job. Again, I even posted on your Facebook thing when you said that last week, whenever it was, but keep doing what you're doing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And, again, if we ever get anything wrong that you hear, please let us know. But again, we've got to do this all together. I think you're doing a great job, regardless of your political side. It's just for the good of the people, wear your mask, distance, and do your sanitizing or washing your hands.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree.
All right. Again, thank you very much, Stacey. We'll let you get off here, and appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Bye.
All right. Again, that was Stacey Crace at the Powell County Health Department. And again, that was some great information we got out there. We're going to go ahead and take a break here on PCSN Live. Be back in a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back. We might run over a couple minutes here, but again, we did a pretty good job here tonight. And again, that was a great interview with Stacy. And again, I'd like to thank her. And again, you can also listen to this again. If you got questions that you want to listen to it again, you can listen to it again on WSKV. Go to PCSN Sports. There's a link there where you'll be able to click on a file and you can listen to this whole show again. All the information that you got from Stacy tonight, I think, was great factual information. And Stacy did a good job.
Yeah, I think so. Again, it goes back to these are the facts. Let's stick to the facts. Let's do what we know we need to do. Again, I'll defend anybody's right and freedom to do whatever it is you feel like you need to do. If you feel like that you don't need to wear a mask, and I can support that. Again, I can agree to disagree. You don't want to wear a mask? You know, I get that. But at the same time, we're in this together. Not to be, you know, saying something that Andy Beshear has, you know, said every day for the last however many days. But at the same time, we truly are. We're in this together. And if I care about you and you care about me and we care about each other, we need to collectively do our part. And it's no different. I don't care if you're talking about litter. I don't care if you're talking about anything else that goes on, right? We have to do our part. I can choose to litter out on the road every day, every time I'm in my vehicle if I want to. I choose not to, to do my part to keep our community beautiful. Other people can choose to litter if they want to use this as an example. Do your part. That's all everybody's asking, is to be personally accountable, to do your part, to make it better for all of us. And we can get through this. We can. But it's when people decide to be rogue, then at that point, then it, you know, potentially it creates additional problems.
Yeah, we didn't want to get at all, you know, that was a pretty much fact-based question session with Stacy. She comes in as a non-political unit, the health department, and to me, I think she did a great job. Again, I agree with one of the things she said. This has got way too political. It's just simple. Wear a mask, sanitize, keep your distance. Do those three things, and all those folks complaining or not complaining about when school starts in person, when it doesn't start in person, whatever it may be, those can be reduced. As long as the numbers are reduced, we can all get better. You know, and if you're mad about the Big Ten canceling fall sports or the Pac-12 canceling their fall sports, move to spring, whatever it may be, if you're upset with all those things, then get on board with the program. Don't fight it. Wear your mask, distance, and we get those things a little bit better, a little bit sooner. But again, all those sports things are going on right now. Their conferences are dropping football and or fall sports. Some of those are moving to the spring. KHSA meets, what, next week?
The 20th.
The 20th, and they'll come out with some more guidelines, and we'll have to see what those are. We'll make sure we'll let you know after that. But there's a lot to be learned. Again, we're learning every day with COVID. We're learning how to survive with this thing. But again, we need to do it safely for all in the community. And again, I just think that if we all work together with this, the numbers go down quicker.
Yeah, and she made a good point as well. Everybody, everybody, 100% of everybody, is sick and tired of this. We are. This has been going on entirely too long. It's turned over our world, turned up the card upside down in a sense, and we've had to deal with it. But this is one thing I know to be true. We are all overcomers, right? Even when you're down, you can get back up and you can get through it because we're all been 100% successful. We're batting 1,000, right, as far as overcoming things that we didn't necessarily think were going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe we overcame them in different ways, but we still overcame some of those obstacles under those circumstances. So we'll get through this. We have to do our part in order to, you know, stay the course. And as long as we stay the course, then, you know, we'll come out, you know, better on the other end.
Yeah, be careful with those numbers out there. Again, we want to stay away from the exponential growth. We're kind of stabilized at a number, but we're not growing exponentially. If we start that route, we're in big trouble. In Powell County, our numbers are a little bit going up, but that's kind of normal for rural areas across the nation. So what we're seeing now in the rural areas, and we're one of those, they're seeing spikes in the rural areas. We're seeing one of those here. They said it 2 months ago. The rural areas are going to see it last. We are. Hopefully it will be last. And if that's the case, we're getting closer to the end than we are to the beginning of this thing. So let's hope that it keeps moving down. Let's hope that you keep wearing your mask and keep your distancing down. But again, next week we hope to have our colleague Greg McIntosh on here, do some things with him on PCSN Live. So join in next week for more sports. Here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
104.9 Pickup Country.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show. From Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, the birthplace of country music region, in the beautiful southern Appalachian Mountains.